Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Peyton Jones guides us through the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Now to Pastor Peyton.
We're in Leviticus chapter 8 today on Through the Word. Chapter 8 takes us to the door of the tabernacle where Moses is about to take all those instructions and put them into practice. That's right, it's showtime for the Levites, and Moses is going to initiate them so they can get busy. He's going to get them washed, dressed, and anointed so that they're dressed to kill. With the entire population of the Hebrews in front of him, Moses addresses them in verse 5 and says, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done." Moses wants them to know that he's not just making things up, but rather he's listening to God and obeying. In verse 6, he makes them take a bath so they're ready to put on the priestly robes that were made in the book of Exodus. In verse 7, they get dressed, and in verses 8 through 9, we have a description of what they look like. This would have been the first time the people had seen Aaron dressed as their high priest, and a gold plate on his turban told everybody that he was holy unto the Lord. And that was literally what was inscribed on the plate on his turban. Don't think for a moment, though, that this got Aaron and his sons puffed up. The key to being a priest was being a servant, much like being a minister ought to be today. Remember, the job of a priest was cleaning up other people's filth and dealing with their sin. Remember that the high priest was representing Jesus, who had come not to be served, but to serve. The theme of chapter 8 was holiness, and although they could be made clean by water, they had to be made holy by blood. You may remember that holiness actually means to be set apart. Not to bring up any painful memories, but you might recall when you were a kid that they used to pick teams. Often you would be set apart if you hadn't been picked because you sucked at the sport. But let's flip that picture around. Holiness means to be set apart to God, and it's like God picking us to be on His team. God picked the Levites to be a part of His dream team. They were His star players. The fact that they had to wash before they put on the special garments tells us that there's nothing special in anyone who serves God. In fact, we need to be cleansed and washed like everyone else, which this ceremony is about to demonstrate. Verse 10 tells us, "Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it, and consecrated them." The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. In fact, whenever we serve God, if anything good comes out of it at all, it's not us, it's Him. Verse 12 tells us that Moses poured the oil all over Aaron and his sons. They were saturated with the Spirit, much like the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Verses 10 through 13 talk about Aaron as if he's an extension of the instruments and vessels that would be used in worship. That's because anybody who's been anointed by the Holy Spirit becomes an instrument in the hands of God. Paul echoes this in Romans chapter 6 when discussing baptism, our washing. He tells us that we should yield our bodies as instruments of righteousness. And Paul is clearly borrowing from Leviticus chapter 8. Verse 14 through 22 remind us that their holiness is a borrowed holiness. It doesn't come from within, it's a holiness given to them. After anointing them with oil, Moses offers a sin offering for the sin dwelling within them in verse 14. And then in verse 18, he offers a whole burnt offering for them to show that they are wholly dedicated to God from now on. Those two sacrifices in combination remind us that as sinful as we are, God still wants to use us and will do as we're wholly dedicated to Him. Remember that the whole burnt offering was actually a lamb without blemish, meaning that God says, even though you in yourself are not holy, I will accept whatever service you offer to me as if you were perfect. After offering the sin offering and the whole burnt offering for them, in verse 22, we see a new sacrifice, the ram of ordination. This sacrifice was unique to this special day when Aaron was set apart for service. Blood from that sacrifice was put on his ears, his hands, and his feet, which appears to atone for his actions. And all the services that he'll do, he will do it imperfectly, much like we do. His ears because they have to listen to the prayers of the people. His hand because they have to offer to God. And his feet lastly because they stand in a holy place. In verse 29, Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' portion of the ram of ordination as the Lord commanded Moses. This is Leviticus chapter 8's way of telling us that in fulfillment of Leviticus chapter 7, Moses got his cut. Who said there was no such thing as a free lunch? So there they were, standing in all their glory, arrayed in clothes so fine that it took hundreds of manpower hours to make them. I can imagine the skilled artisans that Exodus talks about, who wove these garments together and painstakingly stitched every detail into them according to the commandments. And this was the big day. This was the coronation. It would have been like a fashion show for them, and Aaron and his sons would have been walking the runway. I can imagine those women so proud, beaming after everyone was admiring their hard work. Admittedly, a little bit squeamish when oil had been poured all over the garments they had painstakingly made. In verse 30, we're told, then Moses took some of the anointing oil and of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments, and also his sons and his sons' garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons and the garments with them. I think at this point the artisans fainted. For all of the sacrifice and all of the anointing with oil, Aaron and his sons still were not consecrated. They still were not set apart. They still were not holy until they had been sprinkled and covered with blood. And as the blood dripped down those beautiful garments, the Lord said, now they are holy, just like us. Lastly, in verse 31 to the end of the chapter, Aaron and his sons are told that they must stay within the tabernacle area for 7 days. It's actually not as bad as it sounds. During those 7 days, they would be eating the bread and drinking wine from the drink offering, which we haven't talked about yet. Remember that that bread symbolized God keeping us alive, and no more so than through Jesus. Does bread and wine sound familiar? The fact that it was 7 days, the number of completeness tells us that this is a symbol of eternal life. After the sacrifice and God making us holy, the feasting on the body and blood of Jesus, we will have eternal life. It just doesn't get any better than that. Verse 35 reminds them not to step outside of the tabernacle area so that they don't die. If you knew what was coming, you'd realize that by chapter 10, Aaron's sons are dead. Read Leviticus chapter 8 today, and as you do, ponder the fact that God wants to use you. Although you're not perfect, He's made the perfect sacrifice on your behalf, and He's anointed so He can empower you with the Holy Spirit. Being clothed with His robes of righteousness and anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit, you will be washed, clothed with Christ's robes of righteousness, anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit, and sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. You're dressed to kill.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Peyton Jones is the co-host of the Church Planter Podcast and author of the book Church Zero. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.